And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Yeah, good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott at 7:05 on Monday, July 12th. We're starting another week. Roll, get out of bed. Or, if you're in bed, enjoy it. While we're here sitting in here working, standing up in the heat, that it's all week. But, of course, Linda will be talking about that. Hey, our phone line's here, 605-4567. We're streaming on KCNR1460.com. What do you mean by streaming? Sweating out here later on today. Streaming is we're going out over your computers, but we're also going out over your iPod, phones. You know, you get us iTunes. We have people listening in Nova Scotia. You know, if you're in the world, you've got a computer.
Or walking on the bike trail.
Or riding your bike down the trail. We don't, of course, really recommend that because sometimes we get excited and you may just drive off the river. And speaking of driving off into the river, here is our producer, Bad Bob.
Well, we could have been on the lake yesterday, but instead we chose to do boat maintenance. So, but it is a satisfying
for
activity.
Every hour of driving your boat, part of the joy of having a boat.
I can't believe that you had the energy after Saturday night's Dancing with the Stars to get up and do boat maintenance on Sunday.
Now, wait a minute here. Speaking of stars and energy, here's my...
Well, I'm not the star, but good morning, and it was a wonderful evening. And we'll get into that in a little bit, and we'll talk to you if you weren't there. We'll kind of recap what happened with who won and what happened and all that good stuff. But it's currently 71 degrees if you're just tuning in. Good morning. It's going to be high today of 104. So you might across the state, there's something about a nudist resort.
I'm sorry. We went from weather to nudity?
Well, you want to wear as little as possible on days like this. Except for some sunblock and maybe a little perfume behind your ear. That.
Okay.
Cover your feet. Get out of that corner.
She
put me in the corner. And I just.
Well, it's Monday morning. We got to be a little spicy here and wake people up, don't you think?
We do. There's been a lot of things happening. We're going to Dancing with the Stars today.
Should we just get down to it?
Business in town that we're going to talk about. I want to talk about Dance with the Stars. Let's go.
Well, Bob.
Yes, ma'am.
You and Brenda did such a wonderful job. You guys put on the clips. You put together that whole thing where each one of the stars that were highlighted, we could watch a video before and then dancing. It was very, very much like what you see on television, you know, when you watch Dancing with the Stars. What a wonderful job the both of you did.
Well, thank you. And for the production that we did at the... We are producing a video, Stars as a Memento, and of course I have to Brad and Tom and Ed for their invaluable help in helping us pull that particular rabbit out of there. It was an effort, but it was fun and it was neat watching these dancers from when they first met each other to actually performing on stage. And thank you, Shasta County, for stepping up in some really tough times and then just really making it happen. I'm sorry, this is your show.
Hey, Bob, would you like me to start running the board now?
I wax eloquent because, man,
great. That's good. I said thank you, Bob. And here's what's interesting. I have to say, this is the fourth year that I've had the great honor of judging. And I've seen since, of course, in our fourth year here, how every year it has improved. It has taken on its own life force. This year, like you said, you had fundraising animals out there that were...
There's a bunch of alpha dogs out there when it comes down to it.
Taking no prisoners.
Well, I believe I could be wrong about it, but it's something like that. And the one you had, Tad, from stood out there for 40 hours straight on his show and raised something like $11,000. Know that Rick Hill and Pam put together like four different fundraisers. Karen Hoyt. Oh, and by the way, let's talk about Karen Hoyt just first. Karen Hoyt was one of the dancers, and she, what people don't know, and she we knew about it, but she wouldn't let us say anything about it when she came on the show, was that she had a severe injury. About 3 weeks ago, had a very, very bad hematoma inside her. She nailed on a dancing or something was stretched, and she couldn't even dance for 10 days before the competition. And she didn't want anybody to know about it. She said, no, I'm not going to, you know, I'm out there dancing. I don't want people to, you know, think I'm hurting out there. But she was obviously hurting, you know, when we talked to her So, you know, just kudos to her and everybody else. We have to come back.
It's not like Karen did little small lifts.
She
did lifts like, you know,
10 feet up in the air.
The Olympic skaters, you know, like let's do a major flip and then while we're at it, let's do a complete splits in the air and move 360 degrees. And I wonder if that has anything to do with the fact that if you haven't used those stomach muscles and all of a sudden you, that's, I think, almost every one of the dancers.
Every one of the dancers has some kind of injury.
Right. Or contestants. Now, I'm not sure. The winner, of course, is Maria Orozco from
Wind River.
And
great job.
Absolutely.
Her first dance was a killer.
Triple 10.
Wow. Triple 10. The first dance has ever gotten 3 tens. And we got to take a break here when we come back. But, you know, the bottom line on this, and Bob was absolutely right, was that Shasta County stood up and raised thousands of dollars for the Shasta women's.
Over $60,000 so far, and counting.
That we know of. And there could be more. But this was just what Shasta County did. And these great contestants who put it all on the line. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. Clearly, News Talk Radio. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, it's 7:16 in the morning. Phone lines here are 605-4567. A more of a stabilized type of format here where we're going to be doing business and entertainment. And then, of course, we will never get away from opinions and weather and what's going on in our city. This way we can put things in an order that you...
Currently 71 degrees on this 12th of July. It's going to be high today of 104. Tonight's going to be low of 69. Weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway. Wanted to let you know that they've got a lunch menu that is now being launched and is spectacular. So we're going to be talking about that a little bit later.
Yeah, Monday through Friday starts at 11. And besides the fact that Shingletown, going up towards Shingletown, is 10 degrees cooler, they have air-conditioned dining, of course. Plus, you can sit on the patio if you want. The one of the things we want to do is, in every day or every day that we can, is to showcase a local business. And we're going to be doing that. And as we did when we first started out, and we do all the time anyway, but we want to have two, three, four times a week, a local business that y'all can get to know who they are and that. You know, and we were lining up our people this week, and we thought, well, you know, there's one person that's here that has his own business that people hear about Bad Bob Belongi every day. I abuse him tremendously, which probably leads to he's the only one that will take the job. but he and Brenda, his wife, have Belongi Entertainment, and we've alluded to it several times. But, Bob, tell our listeners, what does Belongi Entertainment do?
Well, it started out doing podcasting via the web. We were trying to take radio onto the Internet, and not unlike what you're doing with the streaming here. And that sort of evolved into, a couple of years ago, started doing some video editing. Basically, it started out as a gift for my brother-in-law. We did a train video. We went out to Portola, and he's an aerospace engineer, and he got to drive a train. I shot a video of it. Found a editing package and said, hey, this is a lot of fun. Well, it also means buying a lot of equipment, but we've started doing promotional and training videos for local companies, a local chiropractic office, their patient introduction video, some other medical offices for promotional purposes. We've shot a few commercials, done a lot of work for the federal government, for the Forest Service, and recently, last fall, I took a trip out to Montana to shoot a informational video for the Bureau of Reclamation. So that was kind of an interesting thing. So it's kind of grown along, and we've had a good working relationship all the way along with Shasta Women's Refuge. And for the last, this was the third year we've been involved with Shasta County Dances with the Stars, and we shot the videos for the as they were practicing and getting up to speed and things like that. We started that 2 years ago, and last year we did a little bit more, and we videoed the show itself, and this year they asked us to be more involved with that, and actually we're able to work up a good deal with that. And it's very gratifying when you're sitting there and people laugh in the right places.
Well, now one of the things you do is that you can take people's old photos and old videos, you know,
right,
the old
digital
VHS
conversion.
And you
yes.
can, you know, because I've got, I must have I don't know how many photo albums of my family that will be slowly eroded, and I'd like to get them digitized so I could hand them down to my daughter.
It's a thing, and it's the software's out there relatively easy. You can do it with pretty much a laptop computer these days. It's just a very time-consuming thing. So for those of you who have a enterprising young person who you can have them stick the iPod in their ears and put the photos on a scanner, but we do that as well, and we can take the slides and convert them and actually turn them into a DVD that you can play on any television set, or you can have the original files that you can pass on. And if you properly store them, yeah, an optical disc will last years and years and years, far beyond what a magnetic tape or paper medium will last.
You also came to Carl's 60th birthday, something else that you did a wonderful job doing, and took pictures and interviewed people and did this wonderful tribute to Carl of the evening, and that's always a wonderful memento if you're out there and you're having a wedding or something like that. Belongi Entertainment does that as well, and you also put together a snippet for me when I'd had the Gold Digger reunion. Mm-hmm. You know, we went to Palm Springs, and that was at the university there, where each girl had done footage. Well, I had I don't know how many different snippets I had to try to choose from years of footage, and you helped me put that together. You did a wonderful job. I could just send that off and on a DVD, and it worked beautifully within the evening's production. You also do commercials. You help edit some of our shows that we do here. So you have a full-blown facility.
We have a production facility out on Airport, and we cover a lot of bases, and it's fun, and I'm always interested in helping out other local businesses, and that's part of what it's about, which is more why I went into the business-to-business angle instead of, say, doing an entertainment day, shoot something and stick it up on YouTube. But helping other businesses promote themselves, I think, has got a real future, and I see a real future instead of doing a large television commercial, and this is no slam on the local TV outlets, but rather than interrupt somebody's favorite show to promote your message, I see a huge future in doing video on your website on demand. If you want to find out more about the automotive place or the salon or whatever, you have a video clip embedded right in your webpage, and producing those videos is going to be a large business.
You mean people have computers at home?
I would hope so.
Not in single town. You have to have things like coverage up there.
Okay. It's coming.
Yeah, okay. Hey, Bob Belongi and Brenda Belongi. How do they get a hold of you, Bob?
We're on the web, BelongiEntertainment.com, or it's 223-3515 is the office number.
Great. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, I've got a couple comments about some things that are happening around here. And then we've got our guest today will be Leslie Morgan, our county assessor. You know, the assessments are going down. The amount of money that's coming into the county and city are going down, and we are going to have ramifications from it. What kind? We're going to talk to Leslie about that at 8 o'clock. Join us after these messages. Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Oh, don't you just love it when your computer's doing numbers on you?
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's 7:26 in the morning. Carl and Linda Bott, 605-4567.
Currently 74 degrees. It's going to be 104 today. Hot, hot, hot. Want to make sure. I know. Mom, quit saying things. Hydrate. Make sure that when you're outside today, if you have to do outside work, make sure you hydrate. It's just something we forget about, then all of a sudden we kind of feel weird. Well, you know, be drinking your water and use sunblock. It is going to be a very hot week.
Don't leave your dogs or your kids in the car. Somebody went in, I think they caught them the other day, just went in to cash a check with left the kids in the car.
Well, you know, we have the great honor of being able to live in a country where we really appreciate the Second Amendment.
Oh, yeah. Well, most of us do, especially, you know, including the Supreme Court has affirmed our right to possess firearms. Well, we're taking classes, and we have a class tonight at Bastiani Arms and on firearms. They had classes down there, but it's one of the things that if you're going to have a firearm, you need to take classes. If you're not very familiar with firearms, you need to take classes. Now, as we see as crime If crime is going to rise, we see things that are tough around here. We know that the police, some of the numbers may be cut there. So we need to be able to take care of your home. I think a good analogy of this is yes, you can call 911. You get the New York Times. Oh, no, call a policeman. Well, that's fine. You do want to call a policeman. But it's like if you have a fire in your home, don't you have a fire extinguisher? So you call 911 for the fire department, but don't you take the fire extinguisher and fight that fire? That's the analogy I use.
I would even go so far as to say that if you had firearms that you inherited, let's say from your grandparents or your father or whatever, it's a wise thing to know how to operate them. They may be tucked away in a box that you forget about somewhere up in the attic. Who knows? You need to find out about your ammunition. What happens with old ammunition when it sits around? I don't know if you missed our show or not, but we had a wonderful show with the gentleman that we're going to be taking classes with tonight at Bastiani Arms. And he suggests that, you know, the kids can come into the class. The kids, if you've got a firearm in your house, every single person in that home needs to know what it does, just the power of it, and the safety precautions of it, et cetera.
Firearm safety. If you have a weapon in your house, everybody in your house should understand how to handle firearms in the sense of making sure they're safe. And also how to make sure if they see one of their friends with a firearm that they go and tell an adult that somebody has this. I just saw, again, a tragedy, something like a 9-year-old killed his 2-year-old brother with a weapon. And the thing is this, my friends. We live in a country where we can have these firearms. In fact, there's enough firearms probably for everybody in the country to have one. But you need to know how to use them. You need to know how to take care of them. You need to know how to keep them safe. And we strongly urge you, if you've got weapons, to go out and have a class on it. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're getting into our next segment of the show. Leslie Morgan's going to be our guest at 8 o'clock. So join us after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly New Talk Radio.
Yeah! You know, on Friday, well, by the way, let's tell you, if you're just tuning in, 74 degrees, the time is 7:34. Carl and Linda Bott here on KCNR 1460, that's us. It's going to be 104 today. So thinking about doing something where you're throwing out some energy. Get out there and do it now. Friday, if you recall, I left early, about 15 minutes or about 30 minutes before showtime was over. And I'll tell you why. Because I went down to the river, down to Turtle Bay, and had the best experience I'd had in a long time doing something that was completely not something that I don't know. I guess I thought about it, but if it hadn't have been for my girlfriends saying, okay, it's girls' day, and this is what we're going to do, and they planned it, and then I thought, oh, I better do this. I'm just one of those things, I have to attend this thing, and I don't really want to go to the movies, but I'm going to go with my girlfriends or my friends. And then you go and you have this, you know, exceptional time. I'm talking about the Segway tours down at Turtle Bay. Chad was our guided tour guide, if you'd say, and we went for our Arboretum glide. And Carl and Bob, and I want to tell you guys, I had the best time because I saw Redding and Turtle Bay and Shasta County through different eyes in a different light. First of all, these machines. You have to be 14 and older. And yet, you know, we got there and we had to sign the releases and find a helmet because I don't have a bike helmet. A couple girls came with helmets. I don't have one. So, anyway, I had to smell the helmets. I'm sorry, it's gross, but I had to smell the helmets. I'm not going to have a grody helmet. So I put on a helmet that was smelled like, okay, helmet. It was a regular helmet. Had to just give you that detail. And so then there were four of us plus the tour guide. And Chad has lived here. Again, he's local. He just moved from Southern California. He's from the Bay Area. He's a teacher, unemployed at the time, and I'm really glad. He was so wonderful. I felt like, did you ever go to Disneyland where you used to have the guided tours and they told you about the hippopotamuses and, African safari kind of thing? Well, this guy took me on it, just this visceral tour where I was right in the middle of it with the machine. So they give you like a 15-minute demonstration on how to use the Segway, how to put your hand up. You don't just climb on this thing. You got to push your toes down, your heels back, lean forward, lean back. It's like a muscle thing. And the first thing I did, Carl, I never shared this with you. I got on it, and I went, and I wrecked in the rocks. I didn't fall down because they caught me. But it was.
To me, it seems like a Segway is... I see people all the time, all ages, and I was thinking, how hard is this? I mean, I know you're very athletic, you're very coordinated, is it hard?
It's not hard, but it's a different muscle coordination than anything I've ever been on. So when you turn to the left, usually when you turn something to the left, you use both hands, if you will. Pretend you've got both your hands on a steering wheel. When you turn to the left, you turn both hands to the left, you turn both hands to the right. This one, you literally pull out to the left or you pull out to the right. And if that's where all of a sudden when I got the machine started going faster, it takes a moment, so they give you time to work in a little parking lot there where you can figure out your body, how your body weight's going to work and how to do it. But I crashed into the rocks, and that was really cool. They tell you how to get off the bike, or had to get off the Segway, excuse me, because it can just come right back and just give you like a major shin bruise. So anyway, the four of us took off.
Did you get a major shin bruise?
No, I had a ball.
Did anybody have a problem?
I think somebody got a shin bruise.
Okay.
Somebody came off the bike and it came back and hit them. But, we're all troopers. It was a great time. So we went on the Arboretum, which meant that we went on the bike trail, which I'd never been on, in the back side of, if you cross the bridge and you go over the little bridge, it's the back side there. Beautiful in the morning. We saw, we saw the hawk nests. We saw, they were talking about the indigenous trees and that they gave you a wonderful historical, something I didn't know, and you'll learn this, is that, the monolith down at the bottom of the bridge?
Yeah.
Okay, Bob, you're looking at me. You know what I'm talking about. That's the one that had for Shasta Dam and the building of Shasta Dam and during the Depression.
At the time was
built in, I think, 1938. I think they spent $19 million on it, and then they sold it to South Africa for, I think, $1.5 million, something like that. And that here it is in South Africa. It is still in existence at a diamond mine. It's still working.
Belt, yeah.
I love that. Just goes to show you when you build something good.
Yeah.
So anyway, stuff like that, little pieces of tidbit information like that. So the Segway, I want to go back. Carl, I want us to go back. I want us to do the two-hour trip. There's a two-hour trip. There's a three-hour trip where you can actually go at nighttime under the stars.
That could be fun.
And hear the jazz and music that, sprinkles out, over the beautiful, surroundings of Turtle Bay. I met Robert Frost, who was a listener of ours, didn't know that we were at a new station. So, Robert, shout out to you. He is the owner of Sundial Pedicab.
There you go.
He's got two pedicabs that will drive you across the bridge, which is phenomenal.
I've seen those pedicabs before. Yeah.
So it's the guided Segway tours and the bicycle rentals there. And I just want to tell you, on Fridays, if you go to ShastaTrainingPost.com, you get two for the price of one. So for an hour, it costs us $17.50 each, and it was the best time I've had in a really long time as far as just being in nature and appreciating the beautiful North State. That's another way to see it, and I just highly recommend it. Segway Tours, Turtle Bay. Give yourself a treat and your family. And if somebody comes to town, it's a great way for you to go take them out and enjoy that kind of event. You could get off if you wanted to do a two hours, finish the tour, go have a cocktail at the Sundial Bridge, walk across the Sundial Bridge, have an iced tea. Just enjoy the beauty of the North State, and it's right there.
It sounds like a lot of fun. I know you had a great time. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be addressing some local issues that may be sticking in your craw and some national issues that I know are sticking in my craw. Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Diane from Country Kitchen. Everyone knows we serve a delicious, hearty breakfast made with the freshest ingredients and served with a smile.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here are 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite out on Airport Road. That's right. Doug Tooley has been in the business since 1985, a 82nd Airborne veteran. This man puts in home theater systems. He also does Dish Networks with Free HD for Life. That's right, Free HD for Life. His phone line is 244-1988. On Mondays, which is today, the first 20 people to bring in an old remote will get a brand new one. That's right. If your dog has chewed it up, your child has dropped it into the water or the toilet and flushed it twice, somehow it got into the washing machine, as do things. Go down there. He'll replace it for the first 20 people. It's B&T Satellite off Airport Road. Doug Tooley, just down from the Burrito Bandito. Swiss turn pedophiles loose. That's right. The Swiss support the idea of a man assaulting and raping a 13-year-old child. Could it be because his name is Roman Polanski? That's right. Roman Polanski was turned loose by the Swiss today. They declared renowned, and they used the word renowned. He's renowned because he's a pedophile. Roman Polanski, a free man, on Monday after rejecting a U.S. request to extradite him on a charge of having sex in 1977 with a 13-year-old girl. No, not having sex, raping a 13-year-old girl, plying her with champagne, giving her a quaalude, and then assaulting her. Oh, how could this be? Because in every other case leading up to this, every other time leading up to the time he was there, they found against Polanski. And then they said, oh, well, let's wait to see what the charges and what happens in the United States. Well, in every case in the United States, he was found to be guilty. What happened was he fled the country. He fled the country after being found guilty, and he has never come back. So what they did was when he arrived in Switzerland to receive an international film award, he was arrested. And so now he's not going to be extradited to the U.S. Freedom-restricting measures against him have been revoked. That means he can't stay in Switzerland in a million-dollar house there. And it was the likeliest scenario, it seems like, that they were going to approve extradition. But it meant to say is that we're not saying he's guilty or not guilty. We're just saying that what happened around the trial, there were some things that weren't clear. They said that the U.S. failed to provide confidential testimony after Polanski's sentencing procedure in 1977 and 78. Well, I can't believe that the Obama administration has blown something that was as open and shut as this case. How could you not win this? The man was guilty. He fled the country. And there you've got him, you know, with the Swiss. Like, we don't have a lot of power to, like, lean on the Swiss. So what was it? Why was he turned loose? Is it because he's a Hollywood kind of guy? I would hope that's not it. Anyway, but you talk about other people being turned loose. Let's get closer to home. Superior Court Judge, this comes out of the Record Searchlight, Wilson Curl imposed a sentence on Benjamin Edward Holmes of 1 day in jail and to complete a residential drug and alcohol treatment program for violating felony probation. He did this despite a prosecutor's protest and her urgings that he be sentenced to 2 years in prison as recommended by probation officials. Holmes was originally convicted in November 2008 of possessing a deadly weapon and repeatedly has violated probation by failing to report to his probation officer, testing positive for marijuana and oxycodone, leaving the county without permission and failing to complete counseling programs. So why do you think, Superior Court Judge Curl, that he's going to do these other things? What makes you think he's going to change? In addition, they said he has been convicted or on probation for a number of misdemeanor offenses during the past 4 years, including assault with a deadly weapon, unlawful sex with a minor. Whoa, he and Roman ought to be buddies. Disturbing the peace, maintaining a public nuisance, possession of marijuana in a vehicle, possession of alcohol by minor, and petty theft. At what point is enough enough, Judge Curl? Now, obviously there must be things that we don't know about the young man, or things in his past that allow him to do these things. You know, a bad childhood. He was slapped on the side of his head by somebody. His dog did not like him. Why is he getting one day in jail in a residential drug and alcohol treatment program? You know, I just go by what I see in a paper. Of course, that could be dangerous to Record Searchlight, but this seemed to me to be a pretty straightforward accounting of what happened. And I'd like to hear from, you know, the deputy district attorney, Aaron Durbin. And I'd also like to hear when our incoming new district attorney, when he comes in, how he would handle something like this. That when you have a man that's had this many crimes and this many things happening, nothing happens to him. He's 22 years old. He's got a whole lifetime right here of offenses. So, interesting to see what Judge Curl would say if you asked him, you know, Judge, what does it take to have your probation revoked here? Got to take a break here, Carl and DeBob. When I come back, we're going to be talking about a few other things, about why is it that you can stand in front of a polling place with a club and chase people away, and the Obama administration does nothing? Carl and DeBob, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is 7:56 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Espresso Joe's, finest place in the state to get coffee. Get it fixed 40 or 50 different ways by the sweetie there at T&B. Finest walk-in humidor in the state. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. We love that place. They support our community. You know, ordinarily, I don't get into things that have been covered before. But, you know, it finally got to me when I heard this with my own ears. You're familiar with the fact that the Justice Department, under our esteemed Attorney General Holder, dropped the charges against the Black Panthers. And what happened is a lawyer that used to work for the Attorney General, his name is Christian Adams, came forward with a public testimony about how Obama officials believe civil rights laws should not be enforced in a race-neutral manner and should never be enforced against blacks or other national minorities. That's a pretty heavy statement, and this is from this one man, J. Christian Adams. In the wake of this expose on how the Obama Department of Justice abandoned default judgments, they already had the judgments against the new Black Panther Party for their sake of politically correct politics. Well, you know, there's something wrong here. It shows, you know, I wouldn't have, you know, I've said, okay, it's been covered, except I finally saw the King Samer Shabazz, the guy that was standing in front of the polling place in Philadelphia with a club, pushing people away, calling people names. He was giving a speech in a 2009 National Geographic documentary that says, you want freedom? You're going to have to kill some crackers. You're going to have to kill some of their babies. Let me think. If someone white in the country, if something in this country can work against you, if a KKK, a Ku Klux Klan member, was in front of an election polling place, do you think the charges would be dropped? Should they? Absolutely not. Will the police have been called? Yes. Would people have written or said anything? Yes. Would Keith Olbermann say it on TV? No. In fact, why is Keith Olbermann still on TV? Well, but obviously, according to the Black Panthers, it's okay to do these things. And obviously, according to the Obama justice system, it's okay to do these things. They are so wrapped up in bringing lawsuits against the state of Arizona, who has done nothing but try to protect themselves because the administration of Obama refuses to. You know, you want to give people his chances, and Bush had his chance, and he didn't do it. Nothing's being done to protect these people. And now with these new lawsuits going against the state of Arizona, you would think about, why are they doing this? The majority of the people in the United States support the state of Arizona in trying to protect themselves. The substantial majority, according to Gallup, of those in favor and those opposed to the lawsuit say they feel very strongly about their position about it. So here's what you've got. You've got a state that's under siege. They need help. They pass a law, which, by the way, is very, very close to the federal law. And what do you get? Nothing. Let's go to the phones. Coach Bob.
Yeah, just a quick Roman Polanski comment.
Okay.
If I can quote word for word the illustrious ultra-liberal Whoopi Goldberg, well, at least it wasn't rape.
It wasn't rape. Well,
yeah, she said that on The View when, you know, she opens her mouth and some of the stupidest things pour out. And that was one of the comments she made when they were discussing that. It wasn't rape. Well, I don't know what rape is, but when you drug somebody and they're underage to boot, last I heard that was rape.
Well, it is rape. And, you know, and this whole thing is ridiculous. The fact is that he was turned loose and anybody else wouldn't have been. He was in Switzerland. They found that they're not going to extradite him. It is all a bunch of hooey.
Yep. Yeah. Well, hooey's one word to use. Yep.
Well, that's the one I have to use.
Have a nice day.
All right. Thanks, Coach Bob. You know, I just see things going on. Hey, look, after our break here, we're getting ready to take a, of course, go break for the news. We have Leslie Morgan on. She's going to be talking about the assessments in the county and the impact this is going to have on tax, you know, on our taxes, the impact it's going to have on paying the bills here in Shasta County and the city of Redding. Is there something that can be done? How bad is it going to be? Is there anything that we as the people should be looking at here in the future except things that are going wrong? Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's 8:06 in the morning. Carl and Linda Bott, 605-4567.
Currently 76 degrees. If you're just tuning in, good morning. It's going to be 104 today, so make sure you hydrate, put on your sunscreen, dress appropriately. 8:05 in the morning, as Carl said, it is the 12th of July.
That's right. And this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. I have a little giggle there because I saw the latest haircut of Rich Bay, and he cut it, you know, DC and Tim and the Man in Black told me they cut it just the way he liked it. So y'all need to take a look. It's quite the, he's starting his own hairstyle there. Anyway, but Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold. They will give you a great haircut, a great price, and they do not do that styling. There's no hair gel, there's no dryers there, there's nobody's going to do your nails. This is a barbershop, my friends, a barbershop. It's got Guns and Ammo magazines, National Geographic, Car and Driver. Yes, a great place. Father and son to bond. Mom, drop your son off. He'll love it there. Cypress Square Barbershop off Athens Avenue, man's last stronghold. Oh, I get I wax eloquently.
I know you get all excited about it because, you know, this is like really, you love it because it's like, what is it? Yeah,
there you go.
Our guest today, I'm slapping my hands. I'm a happy girl.
Yeah, you know, it's a good day. You know, July 12th, we're running for the halfway point through the summer, practically, I guess you would say it, because, you know, it gets to the 15th, and we've already had June, and we got halfway through July. And, you know, unfortunately for the kids, I remember when getting out of school, you got out of school on on Memorial Day, and you didn't have to go back to after Labor
September
Day.
September 5th, usually.
Yeah,
ish.
I mean, then you had that was a summer.
3 months.
That was a summer.
And I had to
but
do
now,
summer school every year.
But now you go to school until sometime in June. You come back in mid-August. I mean, just about the time you just kind of get into summer, you got to go back to school.
Well, when I grew up, my mom always made us go to summer school, whether it was just part of the deal. It's like you were not allowed to sleep in, and you had to go to summer school.
Well,
it was just, that was it.
Yeah.
Things have changed.
They have. But one thing hasn't changed.
One thing has not
changed.
And
that's who the county assessor is.
And we congratulate you.
Good morning.
Good
Welcome.
Morning.
Congratulations
Thank
on
you.
Your win,
yes.
On your victory.
Now, there's, you know, one of the things that when we talked, we saw each other, you know, last week, a couple weeks ago, was the tax numbers. And then we saw something in the paper, and we wanted to have Leslie Morgan come in and talk to us about what she sees in the tax rolls. And so good morning.
Exactly.
Good morning.
Good morning. And, you know, when I ran into you, one of the things I wanted to mention is don't forget us when the election's over, because despite what everybody realizes, we were in quite a busy time. We had thousands of reviews we're doing, so trying to balance the workload in the office with the election that everybody was recognizing was quite trying. And so we have closed the roll. By each year, we're supposed to have a roll closed by June 30th. We did close those numbers. I'm putting together the annual roll report that I present to the board. But our roll has closed 5.56% down from what it was last year at the close of the roll. And so that's what Bruce Ross has been calling me. So as soon as those numbers were available, he wanted to get them posted and out. So I gave them to him, and I'm working on getting that roll report out so everybody can have something in their hand. And I am going to try to do something a little different this year. Part of it is just the recognition of what you go through with the election, and part of it's just been in the back of my mind for a couple of years now, is that when you come in, you're kind of like, okay, well, what do I do now at roll close? So following my predecessor's lead, we put together a roll report, we get it out to the counties, we get it to the Board of Supervisors, but the cities didn't have that information as readily at their fingertips. We post it on the web, they give us a call. But I am going to actually go present to them this year as well. It'll be kind of new. I'm still working on who the best contact people are, the best way to do that presentation for them. But I'm trying to alter the report that I close each year so that they have more useful information in it as well.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we can start talking about how we, what it looks like, what the tax, you know, what the taxes are. I mean, it seems, you know, there's a saying that taxes never go down, but that's not true, as we're going to find out. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Make you motion.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. It's 8:13 in the morning. Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming on KCNR1460.com. It's going to be a hot one today.
Currently 78 degrees, and that last song deserves a little couple temperature increase.
Yeah. It's going to be 8 degrees since we've been on.
It's going to be 104 today.
104. Don't leave your animals or your kids unattended in a parked car. Not today. Not any day. Our guest is Leslie Morgan, the county assessor, Thether, and recorder. And easy for you to say that. Right.
And, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, Leslie, you know, we talk about assessments. Mm-hmm. You know, tell our audience, when we say assessments, what are we assessing and how are we assessing this? Just give can you give
the most comment? Obvious thing is the property taxes on your home, land, structures, all of those items. It also includes the business property assessments, aircraft, boats, possessory interest assessment, mineral rights, any of those, everything's taxable unless specifically exempted. So for all those items,
anything that moves, anything that can be painted,
mm-hmm.
anything.
Used to be personal household furnishings. Now they have an exemption. Oh, my.
Now, how did that happen?
It was before my time. But I guess they used to knock on your door and.
What, how much is
when
your,
they would
how
do
much
their annual reappraisals,
worth?
They would come
I'm,
in.
I'm sorry, I just
everything.
I dropped that in the middle of that, but I'm like, how did they all of a sudden stop?
I can understand.
Well,
why
I can't
they
even
stopped.
Understand.
Property
it.
Taxes used to be valued cyclically, you know, essentially an annual assessment. But what they would do is they would cycle them through. So you know, the management of that would just incorporate what all they had to include in their assessments, and at one time. Business inventories, when you used to see people getting inventory reductions, it was because inventories were also taxable. So now the inventories themselves are exempt, so it has kind of changed the nature of those typical types of sales. But I'm sure, I mean, I remember being young and people always had inventory reduction
right,
sales.
Right, because at the end of the year they had to pay taxes on everything they had,
right,
so they tried
exactly.
to get rid of as much as they could. Right. How are we doing? I know that it could be bleaker, but I'm not sure how.
Yeah.
What's it look like for Shasta County and our taxes?
You know, the good thing about Shasta County is we're not just all homogeneous neighborhoods, and that's really what those areas took the biggest hit. So in other words, the urban centers, the subdivisions, those areas that had the biggest growth during, you know, 2004, 5, 6, 7. So we have enough of our outlying areas that it's balanced us out a little bit. And you see that come out in the way the numbers incorporate. The 5.56% reduction is the difference between what we closed the roll last year and we're closing the roll this year.
So it's a 5.56%. 5-6 reduction in taxes that we got for the county.
Right, because it was a little over 16 billion at close of roll, went to 15.3 billion, so a difference of 906 million in assessable value, the reduction to the roll between last year and this year. When you break it out by the incorporated areas, so City of Redding, Shasta Lake, Anderson, obviously Redding's the largest portion. Anderson's only, let me see, they've got a lot, 4% of our parcel count, but they took the biggest hit percent-wise between the change of the roll last year to this year. Their reduction was 6.53% change between last year and this year. So, you know, the way it breaks out is quite different, and that still hasn't incorporated in, you know, that my numbers are all about value, not about what's going on with the taxes, the special assessments, the redevelopment agencies. It's just where the value fell after the close of the roll.
Well, I think a lot of people's question is this, is if it's dropping like this, and they realize that the worth of their house or their business property has dropped. They probably would like to have it reassessed.
Correct.
So what should they do?
Well, what we do is we try to be proactive first and foremost. So by all means, people should contact us if they feel that the value of their assessment is greater than the market was at. And now, here's where it comes in, lien date. Lien date for this year's close of roll was January 1st, 2010. So the values that are now available through the website, and actually I think that website's being updated and launched later today, with the links into look up your assessed value. Those are the taxable value that we closed the roll at for January 1st, 2010. So if we look at those values, if you want to sneak peek at them before your tax bills come, that would be what represents those values January 1, 2010, and the market value. If those seem out of line with what you believe you could have got for your home at that point, by all means, contact us. But we try to be ahead of the roll here. We try to look, this year we looked at over 50,000 sales going back through January 1st, 2001. So everything that's happened, we've looked at those transactions. We do kind of a spreadsheet analysis so that we can look at everything in a neighborhood, and we can see those trends, the current sales compared to the old sales. And the goal is that we have a large enough sampling that we can also recognize those that don't need reduction. You know, when you're looking at a big enough picture, you can say, here's the value. These need to get adjusted, and these other ones are okay. And that means you pulled a large enough sampling that you're catching the majority of them. The difficult thing is, say you had a piece of property that you've owned since 1999, but you didn't build a home on it until 2002. And the home, the structure value itself would be at a peak of a market type of value. Those are the ones that don't pull into the query as easily. So, you know, there's always stuff out there where people need to be interactive with their values. Pay attention to what's on there. Contact us if you have any questions, and we'll review them.
What about the fact that, say, we live in a neighborhood that has a multi-type house, or I don't know what you would call it.
Mixed.
A mixed area there, where you've got some homes that are really small, and you've got others that are two-story, really big.
A variety of prices.
How do you do that?
Well, you know, it does affect a little bit of everything, because even the higher-end level homes are affected by the fact that they're in a mixed neighborhood. So when we do an analysis on a neighborhood like that, we are looking at other of the higher-quality homes and lower-quality homes in relation to the market that they're pulling, because obviously the lower-quality homes, because they're in a nicer area, they stay, you know, that's about the range, you know. It affects where you are in the range. So we look at those in relationship. What we do is we quality class them, size. So we have lot values, and then we go by the square foot of the home based on, you know, are you a granite countertop, all the amenities type of home, or are you tile floors, you know, linoleum floors, regular formica countertops, all those kinds of effects onto the overall quality of the home. And so when we're looking at our spreadsheets, even though we're in a mixed neighborhood, and the appraisers know that too, that's one of the reasons why we keep appraisers focused in areas, because they have that that best feel, that gut reaction to the value, because they've been looking at these homes. They've been watching them over the years be affected with the whole market. So,
you know, it's interesting. We can just put ourselves out there personally that we've had the house that we bought, of course, and that it was appraised a few times before we even bought it, but that there's different square footages or square feet in our different two or three different appraisals, and some of them are up to 300-400 feet of square footage that are different in appraisals. So, you know, it's very hard, I would think, and I'm not sure you experienced this, that drive-by appraisals, I don't get it.
Yeah. And it is harder even from our perspective, because we try to get out there, we knock on your home, we'll leave a card, we'll do those things, but for some perspective, we know it's three bedroom, two bath, this quality home. If we're not doing the kind of in-depth measure every room, look at every feature, that's when we come into play with you. If you bring an appraisal into us because you've had somebody come walk through the home, and we can get a more clear understanding of the value of your specific home, all the better. But when we are, in essence, looking at the exterior structure of your home, determining value based on what we know about the rest of your neighborhood,
mainly through
computer-generated stuff. We're in the field. We're just not always in your home.
Okay, we've got to take a quick break here. Our phone line here is 605-4567. If you have a question for Leslie, also write to Linda at kcnr1460.com. When we come back, I want to discuss, you know, when we start talking about appraisals that, you know, I've heard at various times is that the appraisals are higher than what people are getting for their homes anyway. And if you've noticed that, this is Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 8:26 in the morning, July 12th.
Hey, while we were at break, we were talking about the fact that you could go online. Leslie, share with our listeners how they can go online and find out what their property assessment is. You have to have your parcel number.
Yes, you need to have your parcel number. There's restrictions in the law about posting names, addresses, etc. So the truth is you need to have your assessment number, look at last year's tax bill, call the office, ask us to look it up for you. Once you have that assessment number, you can go to the website. The county's website is www.co.shasta.ca.us. After you get there, you go to departments, then you go to assessor, and there's an online assessment inquiry section. That's always active. You can always look up no matter when it is. We do have a value review portion as well. That's the one I referenced earlier that's getting updated later today, so it'll give you more of the numbers that we're talking about today. But if you look at that online assessment inquiry right now, you will see what the value of your home is at the close of roll that we turned over to the auditor on June 30th, reflecting a value as of 12:01 a.m. January 1st.
So we have some good news and some bad news. Good news is you're not going to pay as much in property taxes this year.
Exactly.
Bad news is your house is worth $4.32.
Yeah.
And even though you paid $850,000 for it 4 years ago.
Which you might be able to do when you readjust your loan as well.
Yeah, if you...
Maybe you can readjust your loan
to refinance your house. Well, I don't know, because there's the problem, is that if you owe $250,000 on your home, and that when you bought it, you took a loan for $250,000 and you put $25,000 into it, let's just say, so it's a $275,000 home. It had gone up to $350,000, and now it's dropped down to $220,000. You try to refinance your home, bank's not going to do it, because the loan for $250,000, the house doesn't come out, does not appraise to that.
And
if
it
I
might
understand
be $160,000
right.
by now. You know, our market has been amazing. You know, those homes that we first did the reductions for 5,500 properties in January 2008. We did last year at 2009, we did 16,400 properties that got reduced. This year, 23,375 properties. So those same 16,400 plus additional homes. And each year, especially those ones that have been being reduced for 3 years, they have huge reductions being made on them.
Well, now, also, do you have any that are going up? Any appraisals that are going up in the area?
No, we're not seeing an upward turn yet. We had 12 parcels that, for whatever reason, came off of Prop 8, but those are generally unique types of situations that these homes are, and we're talking 12. I mean, there's no homes that we're, you know, we put on a higher value this year than what we did last year due to an increase in the market.
Okay, so how many homes this year did you reassess?
23,375.
How many are on the tax rolls?
96,727, I think is what it is.
We've just got like a minute, but how do you get to all of them? Because obviously if 23,000 of them are going down, the other 70,000 are probably going down too, aren't they?
Well, what happens is it depends on the base year value of your property. So if you've owned your property since, like in my situation, I bought in 1997, the value of my home and its assessment is still less than what the current market value is on the home.
Okay.
So, and that's a great question because typically in years past, when your value can go up by no more than 2%, it still goes up. But this year, the California Consumer Price Index went down by a negative 0.25%. Now, that might only be $5 in the tax bill, but it still went down and not up. And that really helps people sitting in their home say, why did my value go up when everybody else's went down? This year, it didn't. It went down.
Well, we've got to take a quick break here. When we come back after our news, that's a huge thing.
And we are taking your emails here. Linda at KCNR1460.com. I've got a couple we'll read after the break. And
great.
81 degrees. You're listening to KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Join us after the news and ask Leslie a question.
Good morning, Reading. 81 degrees here on KCNR 1460. We had a call asking for the website for the what?
No, nothing. Let's go.
Okay.
Just keep going. Bob's over there waving his hands around the board here.
We're
so.
On the air. We have our monitor systems.
Oh, okay. Our monitor
but we're on the air.
Problem, but we're on the air.
Okay, that's fine.
You can see it. It's going out.
Okay.
I have it right here, in fact.
Okay, so Leslie, tell us again for our listeners what the website is, where one can go and find out the assessment, but they need to know their parcel number again.
Exactly. It's co.shasta.ca.us. So it's CO as in county,
right.
.shasta.ca as in California.us.
And then when they click and they open that up, then they'll go to the assessors.
That's the county website.
Right.
So then you click on departments on the left side, and you can navigate to any of the departments. You would go to assessor and then online assessment inquiry.
I'm sure everybody's like very curious. Without the drive-by people that are telling you what they think your property's worth, it always ticks us off. We're always like pleasantly unsurprised.
You know, we're not perfect. We're doing it in a mass appraisal method, but
I don't mean that in a way.
Oh,
that
I know. But we know that too. You know, we're trying to get it as right as possible. We're looking at all of them. We have every sale that's there. You know, we're not restricted to which sales we're seeing or not seeing. We're trying to do the best possible, but we're not perfect. So talk to us and work with us.
Okay.
You know, one of the things you said.
I wasn't attacking. I'm sorry.
Oh, I know.
That's okay.
It has been frustrating.
What about the part about the homes, you said there was a huge difference. We were talking at the break. Mm-hmm. On those 23,000 homes,
mm-hmm.
there was a big difference between, you know, from last year to this year.
Right. Well, the difference between last year and this year was the $906 million in reduced value between last year's roll and this year's roll. But if you look at those 23,375 parcels and look at what their factored base year is, because we still track that, and what the assessed values were enrolled, we're talking $2.1 billion difference in value. So in other words, the potential for our county's roll was $2.1 billion greater than it is, but the reality of current market values is not holding. So as we turn, once we do start seeing increases, if you look at it today's, you know, without any of, as these homes sell, their factored base year gets adjusted down to what the current market value is and reflected. But otherwise, if none of these homes were to sell, you would be then expecting that as the market turns around, the recovery of up to $2.1 billion difference. And that's a huge...
It's a huge thing.
Huge
thing. You know, and here's what we're getting into is with this loss of all this revenue,
mm-hmm.
that we have got to find a way to, you know, one way or the other to bring it up. Now, we're not going to raise taxes. That's at this point, that's crazy.
I think what I'm doing is reducing them, actually.
Yeah, well, no, I know that. But what I'm saying is that We've got to take a look at business. Yeah. We've got to take a look at ways of bringing business here and raising more money. Because these property taxes, this is not going to be fixed in a year or another year. Mm-hmm. You're looking at what? How long would you think? I mean, from your experience.
I truly expect that we'll be doing some level of Prop 8s even once the market starts recovering. I don't anticipate our peak values in 2006 recovering for, you know, every time I say this over the last couple of years, I say at least another 10 years, and I still don't have any reason to think we're not going to be doing, you know, maybe it's only 4,000 Prop 8s by, you know, 6, 8, 10 years down the road. But I don't expect that our peak in this area is going to surpass what it was in 2006 for quite some time. Now, we will recover parts of those other properties, some of the 03 sales, some of the 04 during that time as well. But, you know, that was quite a bubble. It was quite an unrealistic bubble in our market.
I know. And we were right in the middle of that one.
Yeah, we were. We bought high. But, you know, it was one of those things where I didn't even know. I think everyone got caught up. I'm not sure. Well, you bought a 97, mm-hmm. so that was probably a very good time to buy.
Yeah, it was.
Well, you know, but it could be worse. It could be like Las Vegas, where you've got $250,000, $300,000 places going for, and I know this for sure, they're going for $70,000 over there.
Okay, we need to get the phones
now.
Elizabeth!
Good morning. How are you?
We're great.
Great. I hope you stay cool today.
Hey, happy Monday morning.
You too.
Did we mention that Linda was in a bikini this morning in the studio?
Hey, I got to tell you, though, I saw you two. Where did I see you this weekend? I think I might have. No, it was Tuesday morning. I saw you at the farmer's market on Sherman Creek. And I got to tell you, you guys look fresh. I mean, it was hot, and you guys looked awesome. It was amazing. I thought, how do they do that?
Well, thank you.
We dip ourselves in,
exactly.
We dip ourselves in Glowco.
The community. We love what we do. That's the secret.
Wonderful. Well, listen, I'm calling in for the Reading Tea Party, and I wanted to give you a heads up on what's going on tonight. And I think your listeners might be interested.
Yeah.
We've got Jim Nielsen coming in at 6 o'clock at the Bonneview Baptist Church. He's going to give us the lowdown on the California budget. And anybody that thinks that that isn't going to make its way all the way down to the bottom and affect everybody is probably in another world. So this is a great opportunity for people to come out and find out exactly what we're faced with.
You're absolutely right. You know, and Jim, you know, as we've gotten to know Jim Nielsen better, he has a clear grasp of a lot of things, or most of the things that are happening down in Sacramento.
He really
And so when we went down to see what was going on in Sacramento and walked around and talked to different people, it was obviously he's very well respected down there by his opponents. When I say his opponents, the people that are diametrically opposed to freedom and liberty that we enjoy up here in the North State. But the bottom line is that, you need to... And you're going to be at where?
The Bonneview Baptist Church.
Okay. And that's where?
It's Caddy Corner across the street from the Wind River Mini Mart gas station, 6 o'clock. And in addition to that, after Jim speaks, we've got representatives from the Carly Fiorina camp as well as the Meg Whitman camp that are going to come up, and we'll have classrooms for those two individuals. They're looking for North State residents that want to get involved in those campaigns in this area, from walking precincts to making phone calls to doing whatever. So anybody that wants to make sure that Jerry Brown and Barbara Boxer stay out of office, this is your opportunity to get involved.
Okay.
So we've got a full plate tonight. It's going to be a very busy 3 or 4 months. We're working extremely hard on getting the message out that people have to get out and vote, especially while they still can.
Well,
and
we have been pushing that for a long time,
and we
will continue to do that. Okay, at 6 o'clock
tonight
at the Bonneview Baptist Church.
Yes.
Yeah, it starts at 6. Jim Nielsen is going to be talking about the budget. Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carl.
You bet.
Thanks a lot.
Have a great day, you guys. Bye.
All right, bye. Our guest this morning is Leslie Morgan, and, you know, we're going to be taking our calls. We're going to take a break here. If you have an email for Leslie or a question at all, just give us a call or email me, Linda, at KCNR1460. And we're going to be covering some things when we get back, some headlines, and taking your emails as well. Carl and Linda Bott here on KCNR1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, it is 8:46. 6 in the morning. Phone line 605-4567. Our guest is Leslie Morgan, assessor recorder. A lot of people forget that recorder.
And congratulations again on winning your position.
Leslie, we just got a couple minutes here left. What do you want people to take away from here?
Just to always work with us. You know, we have lots of recordings we do. There's lots of information when we're examining documents. There's lots of assessments we're doing. We're trying to send out information to people. Generally, when we're prompting you to ask you questions, it's because we're looking for things that might benefit you. Right now, we're considering things like if it's a parent-child to transfer, it's not always in the best interest to use up that portion of your exclusion portion if the market's down. You know, we're really trying to work with people so that in the long run, they get the most benefit out of the way the tax rules are written. But we do need your participation in that process. You know, we can't know we got the values right if we aren't sure if you're even looking at what the values are. We're doing everything we can. We have our spreadsheets in front of us. We can show those to you. But glance at it. You know, if it seems, hey, yeah, I'm sure on January 1st I could have got $150,000 for my house that's assessed at $120,000. You know, whatever the case may be, great. But unfortunately, we don't know your home as well as you do. So at least glance at it. Give us a call. You know, we try to be here to work cooperatively with you, understanding that, you know, we're all as feel as personal about our homes and our boats and our, none of us have aircraft, but, you know, we feel as personal about our taxes that we're paying as well. So just come in and work with us. That's what we're there for. You know, you as a collective whole are paying us to do a job for you again as a collective whole. On an individual basis, sometimes we have to give you hard news to hear, but we're there for you. We're still doing a job, and that's what we're there for.
So the bottom line is we were 5.65 down below from last year, which comes out to $90-something million.
5.56 reduction from last year, which is $906 million in value.
$906 million, not 90.
In value. So 1% of that would be the tax dollars to the state as a whole, the effect, and 13% of those tax dollars affect what the county kept on a working basis. I sat down with Larry and BB a while back and tried to project. Actually, when I project, I try to progress a bad and a worse scenario. I don't try to project what I hope, where I believe it'll come in on. So both of those figures I gave them were greater than what we're closing the roll at. And typically, you know, the auditor and the CAO share those numbers out with the other districts as well, which is why I'm trying to help them, because it's really hard to do projections when you're still waiting for the rest of the market to come in. But, you know, we do what we can.
Very difficult position, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, Leslie,
for joining us today.
This is Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Join us after these messages. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 8:54 in the morning. And, you know, a lot of times we forget. You know, when we're out on the weekend, we're talking about Dancing with the Stars, and out on the boat, out dining, out watching the baseball games, watching the Colt 45s, floating down the river, tubing on Shasta Lake and Whiskeytown. Going to the movies, going out to dinner. You know, a lot of times we don't remember that we have people, we have warriors that are standing on the wall that are protecting us. And it's driven home when we lose one of our own. Lance Corporal Tyler Allen Rhodes of Burney was shot and killed Friday in combat in Afghanistan. He was with the 3rd Battalion of the 6th Marine Regiment. And he was reportedly killed while manning his post. I of course don't know Lance Corporal Rhodes, but I know him. He was a Marine. And for you Marines out there, you know who he is. He's your brother. He's somebody that volunteered. He was well loved in his town. He was well known. He was well respected. He joined the Marine Corps. He knew that he was going to be going into combat. He was one of those warriors. He was one of those heroes who writes his name on that check. So that we can sit back and go to the movies. We can float down the river. Go and enjoy great events around this town and enjoy this. He stood on the wall, as do so many others of his brothers and sisters that are out there. And we will miss him. We will miss Lance Corporal Tyler Allen Rhodes. We're going to miss him because he had a future. He was one of our best and brightest. He served our country. He paid the ultimate price. He is one of our heroes. Just one of the heroes from the North State.
I'm going to read a list of the soldiers, people who served our country from the Great North State that have given their lives to our country. Again, we start with Tyler Rhodes, age 20, from Burney, California, July 9th, past this world of ours. Tyler Vietti, age 21, city of Shasta Lake, died on the 31st, in the 8th month, 2009. Joshua Munn, who was serving as a private security contract, died at the age of 25. Sergeant Gabriel Guzman, age 25, from Holmbrook, California, Siskiyou County. Travis Woods, age 21, from Palisadro, Mount Shasta, died on the 9th month, the 9th day, 2007. Andrew Mims, age 18, from Redding, California, died on the 21st day of the 10th month in 06. Thomas Turner Jr., age 31, from Cottonwood, California, died on the 14th day of the 7th month in 2006. Mika S. Gifford, age 27, from Redding, California, died the 7th day on the 12th month of 2006. Jeffrey S. Brown, age 25, from Trinity Center, died on the 9th day of the 8th month in 2006. Alan Johnson, age 31, from Las Molinas, California, 26th day of the month of April in 2005. Timothy Craig Kaiser, age 31, Redding, California, the 28th day of the 4th month, 2005. And Casey LeWare, age 19, from Redding, California, died on the 9th day and the 4th month of 2005. Matthew P. Stewart, age 21, from Mount Shasta, died in battle on the 22nd day of the 11th month, 2005. And Matthew Bancroft, age 29, Burning, California, died on the 9th day of the 1st month in 2002. And if we've missed a name, please let us know.
But thanks to Lori Going for sending this to us. You know, they say that dead space is something you should never have, dead air time you should never have on the radio. But for the rest of the remainder of our show, it's going to be taps.
You are listening to KCNR, Shasta, Redding.